You're listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Todd and his three sons, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Fox Den Sports Podcast. Along with my two oldest sons, Kellen and Garrett, I am Todd Fox, and we want to welcome all of our friends, family, and even those foes to our 104th, 105th episode. Again, I always lose count, so I think it may be 105 today. But I know we've got a lot to talk about. I know Dylan Gabriel put in today to the transfer portal. What are your guys' thoughts on that so far? I know it's still early, but it, I mean, was it a shock? What are your thoughts?
I'm surprised he's coming back, but not surprised he's transferring.
I was surprised he had another transfer left in him this late in his career, I guess. I don't know if it's counting as like a COVID transfer or like a grad transfer or what, but I was under the impression he was either staying with Oklahoma or he was done with college football, to be honest.
Well, I know he had another COVID year, so but I mean, if you think about it, I mean, the guy's not going to have I mean, he's probably not going to be a high pick in any kind of NFL draft, so he might as well play one more year of college football. You know, that's kind of what I'm looking at. And then he's probably going to get more NIL than he would be hypothetically if he even did held a clipboard in the NFL. I don't know what the league minimum is for a backup quarterback. I got no clue, but hats off to him, though. I think we've all learned to appreciate him a lot more, you know, because he helped it. Helped Oklahoma transition the last 2 years during, the leaving of Riley and Caleb Williams and several other players. I think he helped kind of solidify that in a sense. Obviously, we didn't have a great year last year, but then again, he was hurt for a few of those games. But anyway, I wish him luck. I mean, I am surprised though. I am surprised. Like I was telling you guys off air, my biggest concern is this, you know, because what's going to happen now is Jackson Arnold will get the keys against Arizona in the bowl game in the Alamo Bowl. Yeah. So he'll get the keys for that thing. What happens, knock on wood, I hope I'm not doing anything, but what happens if Arnold hurts himself and like he's going to be out like for most of the next year or something like that? You know, you know what I mean? Like, we've got to get somebody in there. Can we sign a decent backup to the transfer portal?
It'd be the exact same thing that happened since exact same idea of a scenario of when we bench Spencer Rattler, Caleb Williams starts, Caleb Williams transfers, and then Spencer Rattler leaves too. Like, it'd be kind of we'd be right back in the same boat.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it'd be a little different because Arnold would be the one that got injured, but I see what you're saying of where we were pretty much left with zero quarterbacks now. But I just hate that that's ever, like, I don't know why that's your first thought, honestly.
Like, it just scares me.
Yeah, but I'm scared. I mean, it's Arizona. I know they're one of the most underrated teams. I will be very upset if that defense allows more than 20 points, and I'll be very upset if our backup quarterback, Bevel or Booty, can't put up 20 plus. So our running game alone should score us plenty of points. I get Arnold, yeah, getting hurt, but what's to say next year he doesn't get hurt and then we don't have a backup quarterback and we just have a freshman quarterback? Like,
I agree 100%, but OU went from a very small favorite to now being a 3-point underdog in this game just by Dylan Gabriel announcing that today.
And honestly, it's probably better. More of a chip on the guy's shoulders and everything.
I hope so.
Especially being the team being just left out of the New York Six Bowl, which is a whole another conversation. Like, that's a whole chip on their shoulder as well. So not only do they think you're, again, not New York Six Bowl eligible, and Ole Miss and Penn State, who really haven't beaten anybody, are better than you, and you're an underdog to an Arizona 9-3 team who has lost, I guess, they lost to some pretty big powerhouses, but other than that, they're not I guess, wowing me by any means.
Sure. But I just know we've had – who are some other ones? I know Walker has said he's going to go.
Tawee Walker.
In the transfer portal.
Said Marcus Major.
Marcus Major has announced that he was going to go as well.
Which
– go ahead.
I mean, I think shows – I feel like if Javonte was going to enter, he'd have already done it. Javonte Barnes. I could be totally wrong.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
So, Key Lawrence, maybe. Yeah, Key Lawrence. I want. He's probably a grad transfer, though. I don't think he had another year of eligibility at OU, but.
He's like 45 years old.
Yeah. No, he can go, though. I mean, that'll leave Peyton Bowen a good spot to hop in there.
Yeah, offensive lineman Savion Byrd is one as well.
Yeah, he has so much potential. And then coming into the year, everyone thought he was going to be a very, very talented person. But I don't know what happened. He just couldn't keep it together. And we ended up putting the freshman in over him most of the year. So, which is a good sign for Caden Green, the left guard freshman who might switch over to left tackle next year. But
sure. And then who else? I'm just trying to look through here real quick. Looks like Savion Byrd and then Reggie Grimes as well.
Yeah, I think Reggie's also in the same boat of being a grad.
And the tight end Llewellyn, but I mean, our tight ends unfortunately weren't that great this year anyway. But so there are going to be some players that are going to leave. There are going to be some players that we're going to be able to get. I do like the fact that, I mean, in the Arizona game, hey, it's Arnold. So Arnold's going to be able to play and show us what he can do. I know there's several people that are, you know, I shouldn't say. You just hear sports radio around here, and they're thinking that it was a bad move, that Gabriel should be back next year to be the, you know, quarterback of the Sooners if he was going to play again. And I know one of the other commentators made the comment, well, you know, I mean, here's the thing, that we know what Dylan Gabriel is, and Jackson Arnold, you know, I believe this too. I think he's got a higher ceiling than Dylan Gabriel does, and to be honest with you. So I think that's another good reason. Now, if you were, like we talked about last week, you're guaranteed that Arnold would redshirt next year and Gabriel would play, and we would still have Arnold for another 2 or 3 years. And hey, yeah, but I mean, there's no guarantees. And I wouldn't stick around either if I was in his shoes, because I think he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Now, he's going to struggle at times next year. I mean, he's going to the SEC. He's going to go into – Dadgum, what is it? He's got to play at LSU, at Missouri, and is it Auburn?
Mm-hmm.
The other one? My goodness. I mean, those aren't going to be easy games at all. Not only, you know, and you get the, you know, the Texas game, things of that nature, but still, bottom line is, I think it's the right move from what one of the guys said here locally, that this was an agreement that he heard. You know, of course, this is also, you know, who knows who, if any of it's true, but from between Brent Venables and Dylan Gabriel, but this would be his last year being the starter at Oklahoma. So he already knew it going into it that was going to be the case.
And I get Gabriel next year don't get me wrong, he'd probably be a top 10 quarterback again. But if Arnold comes on quicker than we expect, he's going to be better than Gabriel. Like you just said, his ceiling from the beginning has always been higher. Gabriel, even if he won the Heisman this year with Joe Burrow numbers, he wasn't even, still probably going to be a top four draft pick in the rounds, I mean.
No.
But Arnold has the potential to be a number one. I mean, we're still very, very, very early. But what I'm saying is his potential is there to get to that point. My biggest thing immediately right now for this game is just hit a younger player having to learn a newer system a little bit quicker.
Sure.
Well, yeah, we're already going to have a new offense. Might as well, like, no reason to throw Dylan Gabriel into a new offense. Like, just get Jackson Arnold started. Hopefully he has a great year next year. But the end goal, like, year number two is just he just skyrockets.
100%.
Here's one thing that scares me also is, so freshman year, Jeff Lebby's calling the plays. Second year, you said it wasn't Joe John, it was the
Seth Luttrell.
Yeah, Luttrell's going to call the plays.
Correct.
And then if Luttrell does good, he's probably going somewhere. And then the next year it's going to be another person. And so that usually stunts a lot of quarterbacks' growth, is whenever they have to continuously learn new playbooks, play calls, just the system in general. And you see it in the NFL too, like young quarterback comes in and they just go through cycles of head coaches and quarterback coaches and stuff like that. And it's just hard to get a routine and a rhythm and a system whenever it's just constantly changing.
Sure.
So that is one thing I am afraid about, but that's inevitable. That's with or without Dylan Gabriel, with or without Jackson Arnold. Like,
yeah,
but
no, I agree. And the thing about Seth, I would be surprised if he got a, you know, job next year. Just 1 year. I think it'll be at least 2 years minimum to be the offensive coordinator and to possibly get another job. I know he was head coach at North Texas State, which is not a great, obviously not a great job. It is a head coaching job, but it's not a, you know, one of the great jobs. I mean, obviously Mississippi State. I mean, I know I've heard some people talking about Lebby going, oh, well, you know, he could have gotten – you know, won the greatest school, but hey, he got in the SEC. He's a head coach in the SEC, which is probably, you know, the best college football factory conference there is. I mean, so he got an SEC school, regardless, it's not a top tier of them, but he's still going to do well. But I think it'll be another couple of years. I think Arnold honestly will be with Luttrell the majority of the time. And Luttrell, from what I hear, throws the ball a lot more than you would think. So he studied a lot under Mike Leach as well. So a little air raid action, hopefully going, but I still want to make sure whoever we get, well, I mean, we already know who we got, but hopefully they'll run that little trail or run the ball a little bit, with better, maybe, I don't know, maybe what he's wanting to do will be better fit for the offensive lineman and Beedenbow and all that, you know, coaching the offensive lineman. But then again, also it could be just the fact that we just need better running backs, you know, that can hit those holes too as well. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, but on the running back side, Sacha going into his third year, I think that's going to be – we saw him come on late very strong, yeah. Strong. You got Javonte. Hopefully he gets healthy, because last year he did look really good, and he being mostly the main guy as a true freshman. And then obviously we got the – 5-star number one running back in the country coming in, Tatum, totally blanking on his first name, but he's going to be good. He's going to be a much better receiving back, and that's kind of where I can see us using him. His freshman year is more of catching the ball and going out into the slot or something.
Makes me wonder why Sawchuk didn't play early on. He had to have been hurt.
Everyone knew he had a hamstring injury.
Is that what it was? Okay, because, I mean, it was
his hamstring or his leg or something. He knows.
He's much better, and he's kind of, you know, he could be the bell cow. He's not going to be, you know, an Adrian Peterson or Joe Mixon or Samaje Perine, but he's solid, and he can be a good running back. We get this freshman kid you're talking about, get him in there as well. The thing is we've just got to make sure that we play some of these guys, because that's where Brent Venables does not play freshmen a whole lot. But we'll see. But then again, we got to remember, we're going to pick up some folks in the transfer portal. And we looked it up before the podcast, and it goes through January 2nd. So things can you know, happen between now and then. I know it's just an interesting thing that we're not used to still, because it's still fairly new, is the transfer portal. And there's so many of these players that we've got to get an offensive lineman, I think, shored up. We've got to get a tight end somehow. Backup quarterback, a kicker would be nice, you know, and then, you know, probably plug a few holes with some depth on the defensive backfield as well. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, SEC is not going to be, it's not going to be a cakewalk by any means, but it's going to be very fun. I can't wait.
His name's Taylor Tatum, by the way. I kept wanting Taylor to say Tatum. Jason Tatum, which obviously that's not it, but Taylor Tatum. 5-star running back out of Texas. He's gonna be really good.
That is great, great, great news. I know, you know, we got Arizona coming up, and again, I know it's probably not the biggest you know, game that we were probably looking forward to. I know a lot happened this past week with the college football you know, championship games. I know Michigan won against Iowa, of course, and I think we all knew that was gonna happen. Texas blew out Oklahoma State, which we pretty much kind of had an idea was going to happen. I honestly thought it'd be a little bit closer than what it was. I know Florida State, and we'll talk about that here in a few minutes as well, but Florida State barely hung on to beat Louisville on their – that was their third-string quarterback, if I'm not mistaken, but they got a pretty stout defense. And then I honestly thought Oregon was going to win, and Washington did good. And Washington's a good football team and a lot better, honestly, than I thought. But they did beat Oregon for the second time this year. And then I mentioned last year week, I think just in passing almost, that Georgia was going to win. But then I told Garrett, a day or two before the game, I said, I honestly think Alabama's going to win that game. They sure did. But so Alabama, it kind of messed up everything with Alabama winning. Because you've got we'll talk about that real quick. I mean, you got Michigan, the number one team, Washington, number two, Texas, three, and Alabama, four, and Florida State loses out, and Georgia doesn't get to go. What are your thoughts on there? Kellen, what are the folks there? Because I know a lot of Georgia fans. Were they upset? Do they understand? How are they reacting there in Atlanta area?
I don't think – after a loss, I don't think anybody's surprised they didn't get in. Like, could they be the better team? Maybe, but I still – honestly, I think Alabama was the better team. They just had one loss against a team that's now in the top – that's now in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never heard any Georgia fans just real high on this Georgia team this year. Like, all year people were telling me, like, if we met in the playoffs, Oklahoma might beat them because we looked better. So nobody's surprised. I think they were surprised they lost, but once that happened, nobody was surprised they didn't get in.
Yeah. Garrett, how'd you feel about the whole, how everything transpired?
I think they got it absolutely perfect. Yeah. I think, in my opinion too, I think Georgia should have gotten in over Florida State if Alabama wasn't, because
it's about who's the better team. And like, clearly without Jordan Travis, like, they're not the better team. They got a good defense, but their offense could barely hang on. Like, I feel bad for the guys. I feel bad for the players and the fans, but it's about who is the better team. And we know Florida State was going to get destroyed by Michigan if they got into number four. Florida State would get destroyed by Texas, Washington. They get destroyed by Alabama, Georgia. Like, without their quarterback,
probably just about anybody else in that top 10, they would have gotten
Ohio State, I think, would
Ohio State. Yeah. I feel bad for them, but it makes sense. I think I agree with Gary. I think they got it right.
Because I agree 100%. Everyone complaining is just saying that, why do you play the games and all this? And why should you?
Fair point, but yeah.
Yeah, but, and also why, why essentially does every team in there have to score 30 points a game to make it in there? Like, why can't just a really good defense make it? And I think, in my opinion, like, yes, Florida State's defense is good, but they don't match up compared to even Georgia's defense now, Michigan's defense, or in the past years of Georgia's, like, defense. They had an offense to match it, though. And 100%. Florida State had 55 passing yards against Louisville, who is not a college football playoff team. So you think you're going to go in there and all of a sudden throw for 250 or run for 200 plus yards against college football playoff team, there's just absolutely no way that you were going to get obliterated. It was going to be embarrassing. If I were them, I'd be almost happy to sit there and be like, okay, now I can play. Who are they playing? They play Georgia, so they're gonna.
Yeah,
get
that's
smoked.
What I'm saying. They're getting ready to get smoked, and then we're gonna be able to see the reason why, right?
Yeah, and that's just gonna prove. Which, I mean, if they beat them, fair enough,
Yeah,
prove it's wrong.
Like,
but
everybody's claiming that they just couldn't do it without an SEC team. They got to have an SEC team. But if you look at the SEC team, they lost to the number three team, and they beat a team that's been number one for like how 24 weeks straight or something like that. Like,
yeah.
I agree.
I don't know. It's like I said, I feel bad. I'd probably be a little upset, but I like to think I'd be a little understanding if we were in the same situation. Cause like, we'd know if we lost our best quarterback and then our second quarterback, we were going to get smoked by the number one team.
Imagine if this was last year and we had, it's like, Davis Bevel. And we're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No way.
Please, no, I don't want to get destroyed. No, you're right. I'd still be mad. Don't get me wrong. But if under the exact same scenarios of if Davis Bevel was playing, like we got in there this year undefeated and Davis Bevel was going to start or even General Booty. Yeah, I would be like, I would be scared how bad we were going to get beat.
And they said it. They said it on air. Like if JJ McCarthy was out, they'd be having the exact same conversation.
They would.
It's not just because it's Florida State. Any of those top four teams or whatever, undefeated. If Michael Penix was out, like you're going to most likely miss out because you are not.
Unless you come out there and just dominate, but they didn't.
True. Yeah, and like you said, they had 3 weeks to do it, and none of those weeks did they. So. Or 2.5, maybe 3, but
2.5 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And they didn't prove it. And that's where, like you just mentioned, if they would have gone and beat Louisville by 30 plus points, then I think everyone would have been like, okay, yeah, this guy or this offense can move. But especially with the running back they have, the offensive line they have, the receiver core that they have, they should like be able to put a good amount of points up, but that just proves again, quarterback who can only throw for 55 yards. I don't blame the guy, a true freshman.
Oh yeah.
Third stringer going into the year. So
let me ask you this. If Georgia would have won, it would have been Georgia, Michigan, Washington, who would have been number four, Texas or Florida
Texas.
State?
Texas still, I get what you're saying. Cause then Texas's win against Bama isn't as pretty.
That's all I'm just asking, yeah.
No, I think Texas was in. As long as they won, they were in.
I want to see good football. You know what I mean? I want to see some good football, and that's what I think we're going to see. I'll be honest with you. I would not be shocked at all if Alabama beats Michigan. I know it's 4-1. I would not be surprised at all. And I mean, Texas and Washington, I think it's going to be a lot better game.
I think
I wouldn't be surprised if Texas wins that.
I think Alabama has the best shot of beating Michigan. And I think Washington's the worst team in that top four, personally. So I think Texas got lucky the way their rankings fell. Because if Texas would have fallen to 4 and had to play Georgia, I don't think they beat Georgia. I think they beat Washington though. But if Alabama wins, I don't see Texas beating Alabama twice. It's hard to beat a good team twice. I don't even know if we made it. I don't know if we would have beat Texas because they looked really good Saturday. We would have done better than Oklahoma State, but it'd have been a tough game. But it's hard to beat those kind of teams twice.
It is. You're exactly right, and that's what's, you know, I've got to try to I know whenever we found out we were going in the SEC, Garrett told me your stress level's getting ready to go up because I was all excited, you know, about seeing the Alabamas and the Tennessees and South Carolinas, Georgias and Auburns, all those that we're going to eventually be able to see, right? But he's right. I mean, it's going to be stressful. However, I mean, we've got the good thing is starting next year, we got the 12-team playoff coming. So you've got a shot. I don't know how many different, different teams. I mean, I'm assuming like Big 12 is guaranteed and ACC is guaranteed to get a team in, right? And then how does it work after that? Do you know? Garrett, I'm able to hear you right now, Garrett.
Yeah, I was muted. The best four championship teams are top four seeds, so they get the bye. The top two get by, I think. Anyways, top four get a bye.
I think the top four get a bye because 12 plays 5.
Yeah. Top four get a bye, and then it just kind of, I guess, trickles down from there of just who they think's best. Obviously, the fifth, well, I guess Pac-12 is not a thing anymore, so that's gone. But, so there's your top four.
Because how many, were there four SEC teams in the top 12?
You've got Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss, and that's it. Mizzou. But if you count Texas and Mizzou. Yeah, you're right. But if you count OU and Texas,
six. But I mean that. But that's what. But I mean, like, I think Georgia, Alabama, and Texas have a great shot next year. And there doesn't have to be four SEC teams, but I'm like, hey, why not us?
So let me tell you. So. This is what one of these websites shows. If there was a 12-team playoff, this is what it would look like today. Oregon and Missouri would play, and then the winner would play Michigan. Florida State and Liberty would play, and then the winner gets Alabama. Penn State and Ohio State would play. Winner gets Washington, and Georgia Ole Miss with the winner getting Texas. So my question is this. Why Liberty? Like, and I'm not trying to be that guy, but I mean, it's like they got no shot at winning the national title. So why have somebody like that in there? Because I think they would probably be taking Oklahoma's spot, right?
Yeah, and that's the exact.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
They went to 12 and we fell. I guess like,
this was Tulane last year who beat USC. That's who that is. That's that spot in the New Year's Six Bowl. That's that spot in the next year's playoff. These teams aren't to be no. These teams aren't to be joked with. Like, yes, they don't play as good of competition, but I mean, like I said, we saw them beat USC, the Heisman winner last year, and put up. And I get the defense. I don't care. I like the idea. Even though we would have gotten screwed out of a spot this year, I like it. But
so if it was a 12-team playoff this year, we would be the ones complaining. And who
correct.
Else?
We would have been the first team left out. And LSU was, I think, right behind us, which I – whatever. But
so – but, I mean, it's – I guess it's a lot different from, here, you know, number 5 and 6 complain versus number 13 and 14. So – and I see what you're saying, but to me, I just want to see better football. I mean, and to your point, I mean, heck – Tulane or Liberty could win. Now, chance of them going all the way? No, but I guess it does give a little bit of a chance to the little guy. But most likely, what's going to happen? I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming like the Big 12 will get one person, the ACC will get another team. You still got to remember, like, there's Notre Dame out there that could, you know, qualify for all these for a game as well. But then, what is the rest going to be? Big 10 and SEC. Then is that pretty much it?
I mean, like I said, after that, it's just kind of how they feel it falls into place. It's not like, oh, you get two teams, you get two teams, you get two teams. This year, there would have been four SEC teams.
That's going to be the interesting thing, because you're just going to hope that – because SEC is good, man. That's where I'm just like, good grief, trying to figure all this out. It'll be something different. It'll be exciting. I think it'll take some a little bit of there's hardly any excitement anymore with a lot of the bowl games as it is anyway. Unfortunately, they've got some of these bowl games that, I mean, they'll start up here in the next several days. But it is, I mean, for some of these schools, it's a good deal, because then they get to go to a bowl game. But regardless, it'll be interesting how it all works out. Oklahoma will be in the SEC with Texas next year. I know, I don't know. I couldn't even tell you the Big 12. I mean, who's going to be good there? Don't really know. Don't really care. I think it's going to be down to between the Big 10, and it's going to be the SEC who are going to kind of ruling everything for the near future anyway. I don't know what's going to happen to ACC. I look for Clemson, Florida State, Miami at some point to jump ship somewhere. I don't know where, unless the teams jump to them. I don't know. But it'll be interesting for sure, 100%. Anything else OU related you guys got that you can think of at this time currently?
Let's start the hashtag trend, Walter Nolan to Norman. Let's get it going.
There you go. Who else?
And, Dave Hicks? Well, yeah. Hicks? Yeah, but he's not in the portal yet. Nolan already is.
Is
Nolan's a freak. But also, again, you know, like the videos, comment, let us know what you're thinking.
Yeah, it makes
me want to get involved with the community.
Yeah, we need we'll bolster up this defense. We'll win us a national championship here, hopefully under the Jackson Arnold quarterback regime. That is the plan. Well, for my two sons, I am Todd Fox, and you know, we appreciate everybody listening to our podcast. I know you got a lot of stuff going on, and you took time out of your day to listen to us, or you watch us on YouTube, subscribe to our channel as well. That'd be fantastic. The more likes, like Garrett said, the more subscriptions we get, helps our podcast out tremendously. We could use your help. But I always do want to remind everybody that iron sharpens iron.
Please stay safe.
Be savage and not average.
And remember to join the Skulk. And until next time...
Goodbye,
everybody.
Boomer.
You've been listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast with Todd, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon. Find us on Facebook at Fox Den Sports. That's Fox with two X's. Drop us an email at foxdensports@yahoo.com. And be sure to share this podcast with other sports fans in your life. This has been Fox Den Sports.